Well, Fusion, it's so good to be with you tonight. My name is Bo. I'm the lead pastor of our Fusion community. And I was on vacation for the last 2 weeks. My wife, Blake, and I and our kids, we took a couple weeks off, and it was so great just to get to rest. But I miss you every time I'm not with you. So thank you so much to our team for running this place so well while I was on vacation. I know you're looking at me. You're like, I see that shirt, Bo. I can tell you were on vacation. I'm like, did you go to Hawaii? I'm like, no, I was in Eagle Rock, but it's okay. Crickets, for real. I make a joke and crickets go off. That's a bad start. It's a bad start, Fusion. Help me, I need y'all. Okay. That's all time right there, you guys. I get to tell that story for years to come. We are continuing in our series, Fighting for Freedom. And we come to our final week in this series. You know, Fusion, we all carry a message with us everywhere we go in life. No matter who you are or what you do for a living, you carry a message with you everywhere you go. The question is, what is the message that you carry? Sometimes it can even be unintentional that we carry this message, but we carry it nevertheless. Does anybody know that super competitive person in your life, right? That person who, if there's not losers and hopefully a winner, that's them, it's not worth doing. Anybody know that super competitive person? Let me just tell you, whoever you're thinking of, I'm more competitive than they are, okay? Competition's my number one strength. I hate losing. And for how much I've done of it in my life, it seems like I'd be used to it. But man, I absolutely hate it. Let me tell you, it's been kind of a bummer to be so competitive but not be gifted physically or mentally enough to actually win in a whole bunch of things. But if I'm not careful, what I can communicate, the message I can carry, is all of life is a competition. It's all about winning and or losing. Sometimes the message that we can carry is image is everything. Don't let anybody know what's actually going on inside of you. Just present this front that you want people to see. It's all about how many followers do you have? How many likes did you get? Am I putting on the right face that I want people to see? Image is everything. A message that is so common in our world today is money is everything. It's all about money. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bills, y'all. Bo, stop. Don't do Wu-Tang in church. I know it's silly, you guys. It's all about money. And if you aren't a financial success, if you aren't accumulating wealth, or more importantly, if you aren't spending wealth, you're not really a success. It's all about money. But what is the most important message that we can and should carry? Because all messages aren't equal. And not all messages deserve equal place and value in our lives. If you are a follower of Jesus here tonight, Jesus has given you a mandate to share a very clear and simple message with the world. There is a God who created you, and he pursues you with his love. And he has to pursue you because sin has separated you from your God. And that pursuing love ultimately sent Jesus to the cross. And as a result of what Jesus did on the cross and his resurrection, there is now new life offered for you if you just say yes to it. In Matthew 28, Jesus says this. It says, Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Tonight we're going to talk about why should we carry this message, this mandate that Jesus gave his disciples in Matthew 28. Why should we carry it to the world, and how can we do that? We're going to talk about two simple and clear ways we can all do that. Come on, let's pray. Let's believe God wants to speak to us tonight, Fusion. Jesus, we love you so much, and we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the incredible time of worship that we've already had, experiencing your presence in this place. We thank you for the good things happening here at Christian Assembly and around the world as you are sending us out. And Lord, we pray now that you would speak to us. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive and that it is active, and that when we read it and apply it to our lives by the help of your Holy Spirit, we are a changed people. So change us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So why? Why should followers of Jesus carry this message as opposed to all of the other messages that we can carry? The series that we've been in has been following the 12 steps used most notably by Alcoholics Anonymous, which has helped countless millions around the world discover freedom from alcohol addiction. And as we've noted, the 12 steps were discovered by Bill Wilson in the 1930s. When he was first beginning to discover the 12 steps, Bill didn't know that he was creating a system that was going to help people struggling with alcohol addiction find freedom. He was simply learning how to follow Jesus. As Bill discovered grace and hope in Jesus, he discovered steps that every follower of Christ takes to discover the freedom that Jesus has for us. He admitted he was powerless over his sin and that his life had become unmanageable. He came to believe in the power of God that is greater than himself and that is able to restore him to sanity. He turned his life and his will over to the care of God. He made a fearless and searching moral inventory of his life. He admitted to God, himself, and another person the exact nature of his wrongs. And he made amends for his wrongs. He did all of the steps, and yet he would soon come to realize there was one more critical and life-giving step he must take. Bill, who had been sober for some time, found himself in a hotel lobby in Akron, Ohio. He had just got some really bad news about a business situation where he was expecting to get a position with a company that he ended up not getting, and the rug was really pulled out from underneath him, and he was just so frustrated and destroyed by this news. In addition to that, Mother's Day was the next day, and for Bill, that was a really hard day because Bill's mother had walked out on him years earlier, and depression and loneliness was creeping in. And so with the bad news from the business situation and Mother's Day approaching, those two really collided to create the perfect storm for Bill. And standing in a hotel lobby at the bar, Bill had decided he was going to get drunk. Ask any addict about this moment and they will tell you it is a serious and a critical and a life or death moment for them. As he stood there preparing to begin drinking, a thought came to Bill. It dawned on him. Instead of drinking right now, I need to find somebody else who is struggling like I am, and I need to tell them about my journey. Through a local church in that area, Bill got connected with another hopeless, helpless drunk like him, a man named Dr. Bob. Bill went and he stayed with Dr. Bob for several hours, and he told Dr. Bob his story. And through the telling of his story, Dr. Bob came to put his faith in Jesus. And Alcoholics Anonymous was born on that day, June 10th, 1935. Bill carried the message not to save Dr. Bob, but because if he didn't, he himself would drink and he knew he would die. He found a strange dynamic at work. When I tell my story to somebody else, something happens inside of me. I get a little less self-absorbed. I experience dignity and the thrill of knowing I am being used by God. If I focus inward, I do worse. If I focus outward on others, I do better. And this is a universal truth for us. I do this not because I am strong and they are weak, or because I am right and they are wrong, but because there is no healing for me without helping others. Fusion, it isn't that we are charged with this mission
Because we are so good and all of them out there are so bad. How many of you know that God could find a lot more effective ways to share his message with the world than us in this room? And yet, he calls us. He calls us to be a part of sharing his message because he knows that every single one of us, we need a purpose in our lives. A person who has no purpose, a person who has no mission, who has no vision for their life, they are aimless. Proverbs tells us that where there is no vision, people live unrestrained lives. What does that mean? If you have no vision for your life, if you have no purpose for your life, if you're not on a mission in your life, you're going to live an unrestrained life. You're going to do whatever you want to do because what's going to stop you? Why wouldn't you do those things? And what you're going to find is that once again, you're going to be back enslaved to the thing that you found freedom from before. Instead, when you have a mission, when you have vision for your life, you're going to live a restrained life. You're going to live a disciplined life. You're going to know I've got to say no to certain things so I can say yes to the thing that God is sending me on. This mission and this vision he has given me in my life. It's always true for me. When I think about myself more than others, I do worse in my life. But when I remember the mission, the vision God has given me for my life, and I think about the mission I have to share about him with others, I do better in every area of my life. However, even knowing that this is true, many of us, we tend to resist carrying this message. The good news is, if that's you, you are in good company. The Bible is filled with people resistant to God's call for the message that he wanted them to send. God came to Moses. He said, Moses, I've got a message for you to take. And Moses said, you've got the wrong person. I stutter. You can't use me. When God came to Gideon, he said, Gideon, I've got something for you to do. Gideon said, you've got the wrong person. I come from the wrong family. There is no way you could use somebody who comes from a family like mine. Anybody ever know what that's like? The patron saint of resistance, though, has got to be Jonah, right? Jonah chapter 1, God says, Jonah, get up, go preach to Nineveh. I've got a message for you to take to Nineveh. And I love it. Immediately, the very next verse, Jonah says, and he runs. He leaves. He says, I'm not going there. I'm not telling those people. I don't like those people. I'm not taking that message over there. I can so relate to Jonah. Because that was such a part of my story. I knew from my early teenage years that God had a call on my life to share his gospel with the world. And I immediately got a Jonah complex. I ran in the opposite direction as fast as I could. I did everything I could to disqualify myself from sharing the message that God had for me to share the world. But how many of you know that God doesn't abandon us in the middle of our Jonah complex? We have this odd thing that makes us want to avoid our calling. It makes us want to avoid stepping into the destiny that God has. Someone can tell us, you are called to carry God's message in this world. And we can instantly think, not me. You've got the wrong person. I'm not a pastor. No one gives me a microphone. That's not for me to do. That's a Jonah complex. There are some people already tonight. You've already disqualified yourself from this. You're already saying, no, that's not for me. Sorry, I can't do that. That's a Jonah complex. But if there's anything that we can learn from Jonah, and I know this so well from my own life, running from God's call and his destiny in your life never produces the results you're hoping it will. There's no life running from God. There's no peace running from God. We all desire purpose in our lives. That's one of the things we say all the time here at Fusion. We're going to help you find friends. We're going to help you find purpose. We all desire purpose in our lives. And there is no greater purpose that we can step into than carrying God's message of hope and love to the world around us. So how do we do this? Two clear and simple ways. You're going to see these and think they're too simple. But I promise they are profound when we apply them and do them in our lives. Number one. Talk to people about the love of God. Talk to people about the love of God. It's true. There are many people in this world who are resistant to faith. And we pair that with our own claims of inadequacy, and the result is us deciding we're not going to carry the message anywhere. And we say things like, well, I don't know enough. I might get asked a question I don't know the answer to. What do I look like, Bible man to you? Or we say things like, well, I don't want to come off as one of those Christians. Like, what does that mean? One of what Christians? One of those Christians who speaks about the pursuing love of Jesus that he has in somebody's life? One of those Christians who will sit with a hurting friend and offer to pray for them in Jesus' name? I think we give ourselves an out because we just assume people don't want to hear it. But if one thing is true, it's that God has been working in those people's lives and preparing them for his gospel long before you ever got the courage to walk across the room and say something to them. We make it all about us and our knowledge and our delivery, but don't you know God's already been at work in that person's life? The truth is, it's more about what somebody's ready to hear than what you feel equipped to say. Little Bible question for you. We're in church. That's okay. What's the best sermon in the Bible? Sermon on the Mount. I would agree. Matthew 5 through 7, man. Incredible. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. An unbelievable sermon that everybody should read and know well. What's the worst sermon in the Bible? I would argue it's probably Jonah. After he runs from God, he gets swallowed by a fish. And he's in this fish for 3 days. And then he gets vomited up on shore. And he decides, okay, fine, I'll go now. You probably would too. It says this. Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's command. Now Nineveh was an extremely great city, a 3-day walk. Jonah set out on the first day of his walk and proclaimed, in 40 days Nineveh will be demolished. That's not a great sermon. There's no thoughtful, funny introduction. There's no jokes or personal stories. There's no 3-point conclusion or application for your life. We all love it, don't we, when a sermon begins, when the preacher gives us a relevant, on-topic, funny, personal, true story about whatever topic we're going to hear about, don't we? As somebody who preaches consistently, can I just say there's a lot of pressure to do that. It's like, all right, what am I preaching about this week? Okay, grace. All right, what is a relevant, on-topic, personal, funny, true story about grace? Okay, got it. What am I preaching on next week? Lust. What's a funny, true, personal? No. Okay, what am I preaching on next week about this? Jonah's sermon had none of that. He says, you have 40 days, and then all of this burns. Look at verse 5. Then the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and dressed in sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. Here's the thing. Nineveh was ready to hear a message of repentance. Before Jonah ever got vomited up by that fish, God was already at work in Nineveh. He was preparing Nineveh to hear a message that he had given Jonah to deliver to them. God is going to put you in situations. He's going to put people in your life who are going to be ready to hear the message of God's love, ready to hear a message of repentance. They're going to be ready to do it. You have people in your life like that right now. God is already at work in their lives. And we put so much pressure on ourselves thinking, man, I got to hit a home run if I step up to that plate. We don't know God already has that thing sitting on a tee. He has been preparing them to hear the message that you have been given to share. The thing is, we don't know who those people are. So we have two options. Do nothing until there's a sign from God. Wait to be swallowed by a fish before you do anything. Or tell everyone and let God sort it out. Tell everyone and let God sort it out. If he's preparing them and doing the work now, he's responsible for the results anyways. And don't get so caught up in all of the details. Oh man, am I going to deliver it right? Oh man, am I going to get this totally right? Here's the question. Have you experienced the love of God in your life? How so? Tell that story. That's the story you have to tell. I was hopeless. I was addicted. I was lost. I was broken. I was abused. I had no purpose. I had no direction. And the love of God changed my life. That's your message to tell, Fusion. That's a story that God is sending you to tell to the people in your life. And He is preparing them to hear it. He's already at work. Talk to people about the love of God. And number two, carry the message by serving people in Jesus' name. Carry the message by serving people in Jesus' name. Jesus makes it really clear that carrying His message, it involves more than just words. In Matthew 25, Jesus says this, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the King will answer them, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." You did for me. Notice here, we are not Jesus in this example. The people being served are Jesus in this example. We think that we help people experience Jesus when we serve them, but the truth is, we are the ones experiencing Jesus when we serve others. You learn more about Jesus when you serve somebody else. You experience the presence of Jesus when you serve somebody else. And it's backwards thinking in our world. Dr. Bob, one of the men who founded Alcoholics Anonymous, said this, "The spiritual approach is as useless as any other approach when it came to finding power to be changed if you soak it up like a sponge and it's kept to yourself." The purpose of life is not to get, it is to give. In this world, when you get something, the only way to keep it is to hang on to it. But in the world of the Spirit, in the kingdom that Jesus is building, there is another code. What I give, I get back. What I hold on to for myself, I end up losing. Frank Buckman, one of the founders of the Oxford group that AA was birthed from, once said this, "The best way to keep an experience of Christ is to pass it on." Jacob, if you'll join me up here. Listen, if you want to maintain a passionate, exciting walk with Jesus, tell people about your passionate, exciting walk with Jesus. If you want to always remember the good things that Jesus has done for you and the freedom He has brought you, tell other people about the good things Jesus has done for you and the freedom He has brought you. Share about the love of Jesus. Serve others in Jesus' name. It's so simple. And yet, there are many of us in the room who are still doubting in this moment. Doubting our ability to make a difference. Doubting our call to carry this message. Doubting our value in the kingdom of God. And if that's you, if you're somebody who's doubting, I want to read something for you. It's not in your bulletin, but it's going to be up on the screen. I want to go back to where we started in Matthew 28, but I want to start one verse earlier. It says this, "When they saw Him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Jesus came near." Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." See, in the midst of their doubt, Jesus came near and gave them this call. He gave them this message to carry. I think part of the reason that he gave this message is because he knew their doubt was going to stop them from stepping out. So in response to their doubt, he gave them this call. He gave them this assignment to go out and preach the good news everywhere they went. When you have doubts about your ability to bring this message to the world, would you know that in that moment, Jesus comes near to you? And he speaks words of confidence to you. He speaks words of courage to you. He speaks words of boldness to you. He reminds you that it is his authority and his power that we go out in, not our own. So Fusion, would we go out this week in his power and in his authority, ready to carry the message of the love of Jesus, to talk about the love of Jesus, and to serve people in Jesus' name? Let's stand together and worship for a few more minutes.